This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.muzzle.com. That's business.muzzle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work on the 9 to 5 Mac Podcast Network. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. This week on the show, we have a first-time guest, Nadad, CEO of Cake. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bradley. Thanks for having me here.
So this is something I've hinted at on past shows and something like I literally think about every day is just some of the ways that the applications have evolved in the enterprise over the years. I mean, you know, in my lifetime, it's gone from, you know, if it didn't happen in Microsoft Office, it didn't happen. And then, you know, even kind of then maybe even moved into Google Apps or Google Workspace, you know, it was Google Apps for your domain at the time. But we went from where every bit of work had to happen in your quote unquote productivity apps from Microsoft to a world where, and it happened slowly. Like it just happened, like, you know, you pick up, oh, we're going to add this one app to this one thing. And all of a sudden you end up with, you know, really a SaaS sprawl. And it's a problem, number one, in terms of the cost that you also just like don't know in some ways where to find things and where to work. So we're going to get into to you know, what Cake does. But is that something that you all have noticed as well as you talk to your customers? That's kind of their big frustration is having these apps everywhere.
Good question. To be honest, I think it varies and primarily on the size of the company. You know, I don't really hear small companies and startups complaining of something like this, you know. But if you talk to someone who works in a really big publicly listed company, you know, they're going to complain about this a lot. So mainly when they take a look at their Okta options, you know, when they see like all those icons, most of the times people don't even know what most of those things are, you know. And interesting thing is that most companies are not really optimized in procurement, so they would buy a lot more licenses for everything that they actually need, you know. So I don't know. I feel like that's just kind of a way how American companies tend to behave, you know. Once they kind of reach certain scale, feels like no one is really paying attention to cost, you know, more paying attention to convenience of adding an ability to someone to use something if they want that, you know. So so let's say you have like a 5,000 people company, you know, and you buy like small number of licenses for something. Typically how these procurement people observe that is they would rather buy more and have waste, you know, than deal with additional bureaucracy to buy more seats once someone asks for them, you know. On the other hand, when you have like kind of smaller companies that are still led by their founders, or companies that are just starting up, they simply don't have that problem. You know, everyone takes way more care about the expenses, you know, and because that's typically like something that can make or break a company. Okay, maybe not like a SaaS license, you know, but that behavior in general is very needed, you know, unless you want to fundraise constantly and not build a product at all as a founder, you know. So like I said, I think it's mainly, it can't be generalized. I feel like it's very dependent on the situation, stage of the business, you know, and very importantly, who's running that business. If it's still like run by a founder or it's run by a board who's very distant from the situation that describes and gives them information about like how is money being spent or how much money is being wasted on unnecessary licenses. So that's kind of how I view it.
Well, no, that makes a great point about procurement where, again, even if like, you know, let's say you have a 5,000 person company and you're like, all right, we need 500 of these. Let's just get 600, just because if we add to add people later, it's just way easier, and we don't have to go through the entire purchasing process again. And you do that, like you said, you know, you look at all the apps in your, you know, your Okta, your whatever single sign-on, and you don't even really know what some of these are and how, you know, if you scale that out to dozens and dozens of applications, you do end up with a pretty significant cost overrun that you really didn't have to spend. And then I also just think about just the data that can be stored in those that you're not really paying attention to. So, you know, let's say, you know, a team picks up an app and, hey, we're going to use this tool for this. And then, you know, who's really following up to make sure, like, hey, are we still using this? Is this functionality, like, do we have this functionality in another tool that we already have licenses for? Just from like the InfoSec perspective, just limiting that attack service, like just one fewer application. And that's just, and it's a challenge because, you know, on the procurement side, like you don't want to send in the way of productivity. But then there is a balance. And like you said, it's certainly as teams scale, the tools do get more specialized. So this is one of the reasons I've been talking to you all and been looking at some of your solutions. So give us the high level of who Cake is.
I mean, Cake pretty much came to an existence out of our own need. So I started as a software development consultant where I was doing software development for startups and companies. And this is the first time I invested in building a product that was pretty much intended for my own need. You know, before that, I started building like 5-8 different products, software products that were for someone else's need, you know, for some other industries that was not in proximity to me, that was not in my vicinity. And we failed a bunch of times before that. So first 8 times was a pretty much a failure because I tried to build something that we were not using. That was like kind of some distant and remote vertical that we didn't really have domain expertise in. And then Cake was, and the first product, Clockify, was made for our own needs. And since we were a software development agency, you know, we were billing time to our clients. So Time Tracker was a kind of a very standard SaaS product in our stack, you know. So this was the first thing we've built. So basically we built something that we needed and that we had like a really good idea about how that should be built. And because we were the users, you know, we had like pretty good ideas how it can be better, you know. So pretty much first product was Clockify, time and attendance platform, which kind of now grew to a monster that has a lot of workforce management features. And that's the first product that actually started making money, you know. And and then kind of long story short, we used proceeds and profits from Clockify, which became cash flow positive in the first year. We kind of used those profits to build 2 more products. Second one we built is pretty much our competitor to Microsoft Teams and Slack. It's called Bumble. And then after that, we built a competitor to Asana, which is called Playkey, playkey.com. So we have Clockify.me, we have Bumble.com, we have Playkey.com, and they're all unified under Cake.com umbrella. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Like we kind of see ourselves as an operating system for small and medium business, although we do have a lot of big customers. And yeah, there's a lot of horizontal surface that we've built. So pretty much we're trying to cover everything that a kind of smaller and medium company would need in terms of their productivity and pretty much managing their workforce and kind of managing their workflow. So, and also managing their communication. So we feel like we're kind of building a very important piece of everyone's operations. And yeah, we've been around for 7 years.
Well, and that seems like a long time, but compared to some of your competitors in various verticals, it's, you know, you guys are still, you know, a fairly young company. But I think one of the things I like, you think of like a Teams and a Slack, and that's a good example, or Asana. Like these are behemoths of solutions that they, you know, they start small and then they kind of continue to layer on applications, features. And Slack's a good example. Like that, calling that team communication, I was like, yeah, it's just all the workflows, and there's so much, there's so much to it. And I think it's helpful sometimes when companies come along and look at like the problem to be solved from a first principles point of view. And I like what you talked about, like, hey, we built this for ourselves internally first, because I think oftentimes like those are the, you didn't say like start the time clock. Hey, we didn't start this to make money. We started this to do this for ourselves. And then it's like, it turns out the problems that we had, a lot of other people do too. So we can roll it out to them. And I think those are like kind of helpful resets in industries. And it ends up with like this simplified, workflow that's kind of like, hey, yeah, we have these problems too as a company. We don't need these giant solutions that like we're using a fraction of the features they have. We just need something simple that can allow us to communicate, collaborate, chat, and then track what we're doing. Do you, with a lot of your customers, I mean, on your website, like you've got some, pretty massive logos of customers that you have. It's really, really, I'll have a link in the show notes, but you all have, again, I'm seeing, Verizon on here, Domino's, Siemens, like some really, really big organizations. Are they leveraging just a single part of the suite are you seeing companies use it all?
It varies a lot. So some companies, smaller ones use everything, but bigger players tend to use like one out of our three apps. Although we see situations where they expand. Yeah, but I would say that biggest chunk of them would use like very kind of, they would use a subset of features in Clockify, and then in a lot of cases, they wouldn't even use our reporting, they would pretty much use our beautiful interface to annoy people less with their kind of time entry, so the people would be less annoyed, and then they would use like their internal tools to analyze the data and kind of build reports. So it's interesting. Yeah, I would say that in most cases, big guys, they would use a subset of features, and then they would use their huge ecosystem of systems in their own on their own premise to kind of do other things that they have to kind of pull that data into their ecosystem. So like I said, we see a lot of that, a lot of different versions of the usage, but I would say that's the pattern. I hope I responded to your question.
No, it makes a lot of sense, and I think that's kind of the beauty of the platform you're building, where there are distinct applications under a unified brand, unified login. But like it's hard to, you just say like, okay, how can you build a time tracking tool that also has team chat built in? Like you end up like those, it's hard to do that. So if you can build these really streamlined solutions, you end up with a much better customer experience. And again, they can kind of pick and choose which of the apps they want to work, work with. So you've got three apps today. Can you give us any insight? Like what else are you guys thinking about? What's next for Cake?
I mean, there's so much stuff that we still need to build when it comes to existing tools, we still have to add a lot of features to all of them. We have like so many ideas, like what is there to be added. And I feel like that's going to be infinite amount of work, but it's very natural given that we have three products already. It's kind of natural that we think about the fourth. And this is an interesting crossroads for us because we're not 100% sure now in which direction we're going to go. We were kind of looking at email, we were looking to kind of more HR tools, like we're looking more into kind of sales tools. So now, like once we have delivered on these three core needs that we have internally, we're kind of trying to figure out, okay, what is the next biggest thing that we're paying? Who's getting most money out of us for SaaS, and let's see if that's something that we want to build, So right now, when we analyze our own needs to kind of keep the same strategy and philosophy about the product direction, email is kind of sticking out, I feel like that's kind of our biggest bill right now. We have more than 500 employees. So yeah, we do have to pay enterprise plans on email, and we spend, that's our biggest monthly expense for SaaS email. So we're kind of thinking about attacking that, you know, but we're not 100% sure. You know, there's a lot of discussion internally. So
No, I email something I think about a lot. I think I've tried every email app on the Apple ecosystem over the years, Spike, Spark, Hey, like I tried them all. And I think one of the ones to me was always is always the most super interesting is kind of what Spike did. I don't know if you've ever checked out Spike, but they kind of said, hey, we like the idea of messaging and we want to bring that to email. So they kind of stripped away the complexity of email and made it feel more like chat. And I really, really like that model because I'm like, I love email because I'm a protocols guy at heart. Like I think that, that like, I think to me, SMTP is like one of the most greatest inventions of all time that we can send a message to essentially anywhere in the world to any provider for essentially for free, but the cost of electricity, cost of the ISP, you know, anybody get, you know, sadly, I think one of the downsides for me is email is it became really, really hard to run your own email server as like an individual. I wish email was like where you could, you know, run an email server in your house, but it's just spam made that impossible. But I do love the fact that like, hey, I'm going to use Google today. Tomorrow we may switch to another provider. And you can take your domain with you, but you don't have to, you know, it's harder to chat. If somebody's on Teams and somebody's on Slack, it's not really easy to interoperate. But, you know, if you all built a next generation email experience and rolled that out to your clients, well, they don't have to ask all their, you know, all their customers to switch. They can just still chat with them. They can be on Google Workspace and talk with them. And then so many of the email providers today are trying to do kind of build that team chat right into the inbox. And it's a little bit of a different experience. So I do, email is just something I think about a lot. So I think it would be cool to continue to see more companies come at the email experience from a first principles approach, because I still think that to me is just, you know, it's the only technology I would say like, you know, that and just kind of your core HTTP and TCP, these core technologies that have stood the test of time. I mean, nothing, there was no email too. You know, although emails kind of evolved with some of how the protocol works, the email I used when I was, you know, 15 years old is roughly still the same email today, which is a lot of upgrades. It's still the same protocol. And that's, I think that's exciting. So I would love to see a cake version of an email client or email service. I think that would be a great idea.
I mean, when it comes to cake.com account, you know, this is where we require an email address so you can create an account. So I guess it kind of sounds natural to go into that direction, but we'll see. You know, what I'm intrigued with right now is the Apple versus Google when it comes to text messaging. You know, they were kind of forced to integrate IP version of the messaging. You know, they had to create the interoperational protocol. I wonder if that's going to happen eventually in kind of internal communication tools. You know, if our Pumble will be able to talk to Slack, mm-hmm. you know, and other systems. You know, I feel like that might come like sometimes in the future. You know, and we're probably all going to benefit from such integrations. And but I guess everyone else's market share has to grow a little bit more, you know, so for kind of smaller players to be able to kind of compel bigger players to cooperate in that field. So we'll see. I mean,
you're right. That you need a protocol level. So again, you all can talk with the same protocol that a Slack or a Teams uses. I fully agree with that. We want to see, I would love to see those things kind of all converge and under a protocol.
Although, I mean, a lot of these tools are kind of designated to be internal communication tool. So not sure how compatible the idea is to kind of step out of the internal zone, but we'll see. Maybe everything consolidates into one big thing, you know, where email and messaging and everything will blend into one umbrella, you know, and then we're going to kind of interconnect those umbrellas instead of having four different protocols and four different systems to kind of deal with the protocols.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that would be great for customers. Well, thanks for taking the time to come on the show. Again, I'll have a link to check out, if you're listening, check out more about Cake. You can check out their apps they offer today. And then you can, you know, there's, I think, can get, you can easily, you know, sign up and get started. You can use them separately or you can bundle them together. I think one of the cool things on the Clockify page, which is your time tracking, it shows that nearly 150,000 people in the last month signed up. So clearly you're seeing a demand for customer signups. That's really exciting. But thanks for taking the time to come on the show. And again, check out the show notes to learn more, and you can learn more about Cake. And we'll talk to everybody next week.